Welcome, everyone. This is Mia Ferraletto, publisher of New Observations magazine. Today we are recording part two of a conversation with attendees from the recent Consciousness and Contact Conference in Wasta, South Dakota. And we will share personal experiences and thoughts and ideas and reflections as we're now 2.5 weeks out from the end of the conference. Welcome, Michelle and Siri and Desiree.
Thank you, Mia.
Hello. Hello.
Hi. Thank you so much for joining us today. And I'd like to ask each of you to give the audience a little bit of a background about yourselves, how you became interested in the field of consciousness, and what brought you to WASTA. So let's start with you, Michelle.
Okay, thank you. And thank you for inviting me, Mia.
My pleasure.
I'm glad to be a part of the continued discussion. And I'm eager to hear more about Desiree and Siri's experience at WASTA as well. So my name is Michelle Rinney. I live in northern Minnesota. I'm a licensed psychologist. So I've been doing therapy with people for over 30 years. I would say consciousness, personal awareness, being able to go a little bit deeper beneath the surface boundaries, that has always been an interest of mine. Work-wise, my orientation has always included the idea that healing happens in the relationship. So there can be approaches, strategies that facilitate change for people, but that does not happen if there is not that connection. And I believe it's more than just, a therapist helping someone else to change. We continue to be changed by each other. That was also my experience at the conference. I have had an interest in consciousness, but also contact, UFOs and ETs, since I was a teenager. And I would say over the past few years, I feel like I'm more obsessed with the topic. So, dedication to reading, learning, listening as much as I can. That's what brought me to the conference.
Did you have a specific experience as a teenager, Michelle?
No, I didn't. No,
a contact.
Always an interest. You may remember when the comet Kohoutek passed. This was like in the 1974 or something like that. Maybe it was 73. And there was someone that said that the comet was a mothership that was going to come down, and whoever wanted to get on board could write to this person and receive a ticket. Well, I was one of those people that requested a ticket. No one came for me, though. I was ready. Didn't happen.
That's incredible.
So no specific experience that I'm aware of. I have dreams, of craft and alternate realities. But not actual sightings.
Very interesting. Did you see anything? Some people saw a ship at Devil's Tower. Did you see anything there?
Not with my vision, not with my sight, Mia. No, I did not.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, for me it was about consciousness and connection
mm-hmm.
with the land and with the people that were there. But not only the presenters who were fabulous, but the people, that was significant for me. That was very energizing.
Yeah, I think everybody was mm-hmm. great and formed an incredible mm-hmm. group.
just, you know, totally generous in sending out healing mm-hmm. energy to each other and supporting each other. It was really mm-hmm. phenomenal.
Yes.
Desiree, how about you?
You want me to start from the beginning?
Sure.
I'm from Desiree Thielen is my name, and I'm from southeastern Montana.
And, boy, I would say I always call it intuition. Has always been with me, and my mom always cultivated that in me and my siblings. So growing up, I utilized that a lot and had a lot of dreams that came to fruition, good and bad. And then in 2008, when I had my son, I had a near-death experience. And since then, a lot has opened up for me. And I chose to go in the field of hypnosis because I was actually always really intrigued by what Barbara Lamb was doing with regressions for people and helping them to heal. And so when I started down that road, unfortunately, in my little community, it ended up being really medical based and it was not the route I wanted to take. So I ended up actually getting out of doing hypnosis as a business for myself. And my husband inherited a ranch, a small cattle ranch. And so we've been doing that ever since. And I've utilized all my intuition. I've, in making calls in what direction we should go. And I have experienced a lot in a short amount of time. And part of that was when I was a child, I had a lot of communication with animals, and I worked with horses and trained horses. And then, like I said, after 2008, that all expanded for me into, you know, more dream stuff. And I took some metaphysical courses through the International Metaphysical University. And through that, I did a mind travel course with John Terry and Bonnie Adams. And I experienced a lot through that mind travel course, and it was all about contact. It was a ufology course. And I didn't really know how important that information would be for me until I actually came to WASDA. And I spoke with Sev, and she had a lot of validating information for me about the blues. And so we got to really have a great conversation about what I had experienced in my mind traveling with the blues, because they were the most incredible to me of all the different places we went in our mind travels. And since then, I have experienced a lot of strangeness in the skies where I live that I did not notice before. I was looking, but I never saw it before. I was lost. So, yeah, and I would say, you know, going to WASDA was really touched my heart and got me, of course, back on track, because I tend to fall off track of where I'm supposed to go. With my own intuitive abilities. So it really helped me get back on track with that and connect with people and realize my path here on Earth, besides being a mother and wife and all those other things that I do.
Well, I'm so glad you came, Desiree. Honestly, it was a joy to have all three of you there. All of you were terrific and really brought so much to the experience for everybody. So thank you.
Thank you for having us. I'm so glad mm-hmm. you did
thank
that.
You.
Yeah, me too. I feel so happy to be on the other side of it. But honestly, when you all left Monday morning, I felt like we had hit all the notes. I really did. It was the best of the three conferences that I've done and reach the highest level energetically of community and also consciousness, without a doubt. And that speaks to the people who were there and the place, of course, too. Yeah. But it's almost like magic to me. The first day when everyone comes together, the energy is always so chaotic and, you know, everybody's relatively unhappy with, you know, what it is. And then it's almost like magic. Within 24 hours, the group energetically becomes cohesive and everybody starts to work together, you know, individually still, but also collectively. And so much growth is able to happen in that space. That it's extraordinary. It's an amazing thing to watch. So Siri, okay. How about you?
My experience, before I got there was, intense. I've been going through a big transformation these past couple years. Which has been, I was living in Ohio and I started participating in Lakota ceremonies. And I had, you know, many awakenings. And about 2 years ago or so, I died and I got really sick and I came back. So that was a whole nother awakening. And after that, I really got that I needed to get my crap together to do my purpose and figure out why I'm here. So after those 2 years, during that time, I found Whitley's book, the new book, A New World. And Whitley has been around my family since I was little, kind of, friends of the family. But he and I didn't really connect until about that time. The New World book really resonated with, correlated with some things that I was experiencing through this rebirthing process. And you actually are what brought me to the conference, Mia. I spoke to you. I was originally planning on coming to South Dakota. And I was just going to meet Whitley, I wasn't sure what this conference was. I didn't know anything about this conference. And then I talked to you on the phone, and I really got that that this is why I'm coming to South Dakota. And so I was like, oh, crap, all right. So it's been like a whole evolutionary process. And I'm just so grateful I spoke to you, because if I hadn't literally talked to you, I would not have come. But, you know, for me, it's really the past 2 years have been about being healthy spiritually and energetically and being conscious of what is unhealthy and letting it go. And it's all been about doing my purpose and figuring that out. And I really, really got what I was seeing during the conference. It was a conscious shift for sure. And I got clarity about my purpose. And I got clarity about things about the world that I just didn't want to see or face. But now facing it and having a connection, it's like a light connection that hovers above the earth with these other conscious people that I met at the conference who are healthy and who are practicing in a good way for the highest and best good of everything. You know, I mean, that's solid. That's something that we're going to take with us forever. And, you know, I still have, you know, I have their contact information and I talk to some of them regularly now. And I mean, you know, I didn't know if I knew it, but that's also why I came, to make these connections with healthy, conscious people who are doing good in the world. And then, of course, you know, the presence of these great Lakota and Dakota leaders that came and spoke to us. And, you know, it just, it's all related. You know, I know everybody wanted to see beings in the physical, and I feel like it's all related to this consciousness of, you know, from my personal experience, they're, you know, they could be sitting right next to you right now. It's how conscious are you of these energies and these things? So I think I got exactly what I came for, and it was a wonderful experience.
Thank you, Siri. I'm really glad you came. And also, I think it's extraordinary that you had this vision of meeting Chief Arville Looking Horse, who was one of our speakers, and his amazing wife, Paula. And Paula stepped in and made a connection for you, and now you're up at Standing Rock as a result. You know, that is just such a clear example of how following your intuition and your guidance will put you where you need to be at any given moment.
Yeah, it was really amazing how everything just went boom, boom, boom. It was like I packed my car up not knowing exactly where I was going to live, literally drove to the conference with all my belongings in this car, not knowing where I was going to stay after, really. And everything just went boom, boom, boom and lined up. So,
Siri, it takes tremendous courage to do that and trust. And both you and Desiree mentioned, you know, finding your path again, or finding your path, or what's your purpose. And I think that's what it requires, is just that dedication to doing the next best thing. So it sounds like for the three of us as participants, I mean, my decision to come to the conference too felt like last minute. I had contacted you, Mia, about a month prior to the conference starting. But when I saw, I don't know what I saw. I think I saw maybe the lineup of some of the presenters, the location. It sounded like kind of a crazy thing to do, as we are still in this pandemic. Although I only drove, 10 hours, others came. So, Siri, you're from Ohio. There were people from the coast, from Hawaii that also came. But it's that kind of like willingness to step up to do this work, even when we don't know what the work is all the time. I really appreciate that.
Well, people were called to come. There's no question about it. And I was told, because I had questions about continuing with the plan to have the conference, and I was informed that the conference needed to take place this summer, because it's a continuation of the work that was done last summer. And having gone through it, being on the other side of the conference, there's not a doubt in my mind that that is absolutely true. And to have Chief Arville here and Paula to inaugurate this land for the Art Center moving forward was extraordinary. And the things that are happening here post-conference, the rest of the buildings will be renovated. The school renovation was started in October, but by May, all of the buildings will be renovated. And our first conference in May will be for Lakota leaders, such as Chief Arville and Paula and Henry Red Cloud and Chase Iron Eyes and a number of other people coming together to share the projects that they're doing. As I was telling Paula the other day, for instance, she was asking about the work that Henry Red Cloud does with solar installations and training people. And I said, when when you all know what each other is involved in, for instance, the same amount of money can fund your solar panels for your project, pay Henry to do the work, and train his students in the process. So one donation will cover all three issues if it's organized correctly, joining resources, you know, joining forces. And that'll be the first thing that we do in May. And also, we're collaborating with major art schools to bring undergraduate and graduate students here to do studio work. The schoolhouse, the auditorium, will be the conference center, and the classrooms will all be studio space. But to bring young people who've never been exposed to anything like Pine Ridge to come and experience the power of the land and the spiritual energy and the creative force that exists here, and then go back, you know, to their regular lives, is going to not only transform them, but the people around them.
Exactly. What a powerful vision you've created.
Yeah, and it's happening, you know, and you're all part of that.
Yeah.
You're all, you know, very much part of that.
Yes, you're the Art Center, you know, that is just such art in the culture and transformation and personal growth and consciousness. It's all, you know, it's just such a great outlet to experience yourself in that way. And with you tying it into these communities and the land, and, you know, you can really, it's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it's exciting. You'll all have to come and make some art too. It's very exciting, and it really represents this moment of opportunity that the virus has presented for all of us. Yes, it's difficult to deal with, but it's also an amazing opening of doing things in a different way. So how did you all feel going to these various locations? I know some of you have been there before, but to go to Devil's Tower or Bear Lodge and Bear Butte and the Badlands, did anything of particular interest happen for you?
This is Desiree.
And good.
I think going to Bear Butte for me was the most spiritual experience of everything that we did. It really connected me, like I said, back into my ancestral heritage, and which is part of my purpose here. Here in Montana, we're also looking at creating a similar idea as to what you're doing there in Wasta. And we're actually on the ground floor. It's been an idea that's been drawn out for us for a really long time, and it really connected all that back and making connections with Henry Red Cloud and his wife. It really, really solidified, like I said, my earth purpose and brought all that together, especially sitting there at Bear Butte and listening to Henry about all of us coming together and working together, and through their trials and tribulations that they've been through as a tribe, enlightening us and connecting us all together in our push forward is absolutely important for our future.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. I had been to Bear Lodge previously and the Badlands, but not to Bear Butte. And that's where we were Sunday night with Chief Henry Red Cloud and his wife Gloria. And I was so grateful that they were willing to come out, at this time and be there. That was an amazing experience to be in a circle, with how many people were there? 25. With these strong, resilient, leaders. During part of that experience, Chief Henry Red Cloud shared some of the history of the land, history of the Lakota people. The ending of that circle, he prayed and also gifted us with singing and sang from the ghost dance experience. And as he was doing that, did you if you can recall, the coyotes were yipping in the background.
Yes.
Yeah. At the end of that, then Tolek, our comrade Chris, offered to play his flute. And also at that moment, then the birds resumed singing. It had been fairly quiet. Just those kinds of experiences, one of a kind, earth-changing, life-changing.
My whole body there from the approach, we were on the road and it already started. Mm-hmm. My electrical circuits were just going haywire, just totally alive and activated and vibrating. But sitting on that land, I could just feel all the ancestors gathering with us, present with us, and just sharing their love, their connection, and their desire, for happiness and health and prosperity for all of us there. And also, a sense of gratitude on both sides that we were there and our intentions were good. It was my most profound moment too, throughout the whole weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And to have had someone there doing a vision quest at the same time was really meaningful too.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah. I would also have to add that the experience at Bear Lodge, or what some call Devil's Tower, being able to observe my own process and progress through life of coming to a place that is sacred and yet kind of this walking path around the base. I was impatient and eager just to get moving and experience. However, that whole experience ended. I mean, it was a beautiful walk. We walked around the base of the tower, ended with our Joe from Hawaii leading us in a very powerful meditation that Sev Talk, who couldn't be with us this afternoon, happened to record on her phone. The experience itself, I mean, that was powerful. But it's also important that she recorded it, and I listened to that again. And then she was able to, I think, some people took some photographs of, there was an amazing thunderstorm, lightning storm that lit up the tower right as we were completing, that prayer and that meditation. That was also very moving.
Well, clearly the thunder and lightning being showed up for that event, specifically for that. Annie and Beulah and Joan Oshi all saw a craft above the tower while the storm was happening. They watched it for about 20 or 25 minutes from from Joan's car, just stationary above the tower. So it's, I stayed back. I didn't go with you to Bear Lodge. I was actually babysitting Patty, the wonderful black lab who came to the conference. We had one canine attendee, and she was great. But it was clear to me that the ETs would show up and make themselves visible to someone. And in fact, the people who did see it were all Native American. Annie by marriage, but Joan and Beulah are both Native American. So I thought that was very interesting. And as Whitley, says, the ETs are most concerned about the Native Americans.
Siri, what was that like for you of our field trips to sacred places? What moved you?
Well, the land, it was very energetic. The land moved me. I didn't participate in the meditation at the Fairview. I just separated from the group and just kind of did my own thing and enjoyed the what was going on, all the energy around, and the weather change. And I just, you know, just tried to be and connect and just, you know, be there. I mean, there's so much around all the time and going on. And I find myself to be extremely sensitive. Since I've gone through this process. So, you know, just, you know, I feel like just to sit there and be with it anywhere and, you know, I can't explain it. So, yeah.
I understand what you're saying, though. Right. I think during those 4 days, there were times when I needed to be alone and just let some of the information, some of the experience begin to integrate. And that, I mean, that continues to happen. I think, you know, even 2 weeks away, there are aspects of this experience that continue to resonate and sink in. But I appreciate that as well, just that ability to step away and have your own experience, not always the collective experience.
Yeah. It's very important. Siri, what were you going to say?
It just didn't feel right for me to go do the meditation that way. I don't know why, but it just, yeah, I just had to just, you know, hang out and experience my own stuff.
It was interesting, too, because each of the trips had the aspect of an animal totem or symbol. When the group went to the Badlands, there was a rattlesnake in the road. To Bear Lodge, the same thing. And going home, there Dennis and Alana saw a rattlesnake leaving Bear Butte, so, which is, you know, one of the key signs for Kundalini activation. And having lived in Wasta last year for almost a year, and I've been back now for just about 2 months, I have never seen a rattlesnake here. But a few days after the conference ended, there was one in the road over by the Wasta bar. So I thought that was kind of interesting that it came out in the daytime and must have been sunning itself.
Well, just to add to that, too, Mia, I was lucky enough to see the rattlesnakes at all three sites myself. But
oh, you saw them all?
Yeah. The following morning when we were cleaning up, remember there was the big...
The bull snake. Yeah.
Laying in the sun in the tent, right along the edge of the tent.
It came right inside the tent.
Yeah.
Dennis was petting it outside.
Really?
Yes, Dennis was petting it. And I'm saying, Dennis, I don't think that's a good idea because the snake, you know, turned its head around and was raised up and obviously not happy, but he couldn't stop himself. He said,
oh,
I like snakes. Yeah, that he was beautiful.
Yeah,
definitely, you know, symbolic of activation. I mean, so many people were activated throughout the weekend. It was really very, very powerful.
Yes, it was.
And I think I took from it that it not only was an activation for me personally, but it was like this full circle of seeing, you know, the earth beings, the tribes that treasure and treat our earth the way it should be, with the upper consciousness level all connecting in this full circle, and everybody's energy feeling that, and like you said, activating that Kundalini and getting the validation by seeing those rattlesnakes, and it was just amazing.
Yeah, I honestly don't think it could have come together in a more perfect way. And, you know, certainly there were, you know, issues that could have been perhaps addressed differently. And I know people were disappointed that Whitley lost his driver's license and couldn't get on the plane. And then to have Linda and Barbara, hesitant to fly, but, to have had Chief Arville and Paula drive 12 hours to be with us for two or three, and then the experience with Henry in my mind more than made up for it. And what's interesting about this conference versus the others is the focus here was really about consciousness and individual consciousness. Whereas before we did focus on consciousness, but there was a lot more about, ETs. And my personal feeling about all this is that the ETs are just one small piece of what is going on. We're actually working with all of the realms, the angelic realm, the devic realm, the animal kingdom, the mineral kingdom. We're actively working with all of them once we become aware of it, the interconnectedness. And at this moment in time, we know the ETs are not going to save us. We have to save ourselves. And that's the blessing too, because once we get into that stream of consciousness and creativity, which are so closely entwined, then we really can co-create a far more fair and equitable world for everyone.
Yeah, I you know, obviously I agree 110% of everything you're saying. It's you know, we have to do the work. It's like stepping up to the plate. Like you said, people were called to come to the conference, and people are being called to do all sorts of things right now. And it's really just getting off your butt and doing it.
Right.
So we got to do it ourselves, and we have to connect ourselves, and we have to create that foundation for a new world that's in a good way. But we got to do the work. So, you know,
that seems
yeah, it's not going to happen without us.
Right. And that actually, Mia, you had said that I think the first or second day is that we have to do this. We have to do our own work. We have to do the work alone, separately, together. It's not that outside intervention that may come from whether that's ET or, you know, the next great guru that's coming along. It's we're all a part of this experience. I have compared this to how can I expect to have contact with the visitors if I struggle to accept people on this planet or in my neighborhood or my neighbor.
Right.
Yep. Do the work.
Well, honestly, I think that's their message to us, mm-hmm. is we have to prove that we are capable of being nonviolent, of, you know, keeping our more base negative emotions in check and interacting and not letting fear, you know, rule us. And because, you know, I've had visitors in my house, for instance, and they definitely look a little different. So practicing non-judgmental detachment and, you know, understanding that you're totally safe and nothing is going to happen to you, is such an essential part of all of this. But, you know, our culture encourages fear on so many levels. And that's, you know, one of the other things we're fighting against and fought against to come to the conference for all of us, you know, who traveled, to put aside our fear and say, no, this is something that I feel I need to be at and make the trip. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I felt compelled to come to the conference.
Well, I'm really glad you did.
I am too. And it was the participants, it was you, it was the presenters all coming together in that space with land and the sightings that people had, whether it was of the land or animals or craft on the land or sky. Yeah, all part of that larger fabric. One of the things that Paula, Chief Arvel's looking horse wife said, she spoke about, you know, their experiences with World Peace and Prayer Day. That's not the Catholic one, that if you Google that. It's not that experience. But she had that strong message about people coming together and finding yourself, finding your own roots. So rather than people trying to be like her, or rather we try to be like each other, it's like be yourself, and that's the gift that we bring to that work that you were talking about, Siri, like coming together to do this work for our planet.
Yeah.
And for other cultures, yeah.
She is amazing. She is very insightful, and I feel like she's really good at helping people find their umbilical cord, what she calls it, to sit and pray and find your umbilical cord and hold on to it and pray to your ancestors to find out who you are and who your ancestors are. Mm-hmm. And this is something she says to do. And, our current modern society doesn't really, isn't connected to their ancestors in the same way that natives are. And, you know, this is probably a mistake because, you know, finding out who you are through them can be powerful. I'm going through this process right now very slowly, but... To find that, to find your umbilical cord and your connection to, like you said, the dirt, because your ancestors are in the dirt. And it helps, I think, the feeling I'm getting is it helps connect you to your power and activate your blood and your energy system in a whole different way once you can figure that out. I haven't fully experienced these things yet, but I feel like this is something that happens when you are in tune with yourself and your bloodline in this way.
Well, that is the one thing that really struck a chord with me while Paula was speaking. I knew before I went there I was going to be finding my umbilical cord to my ancestors, and that's exactly what I did just simply while she was speaking, and it was so powerful for me. It brought me to tears and uncontrollably for several hours. In fact, that to make that connection was so invigorating for me, and to know where I need to go with that, which is my spirit for my ancestors was the thing that they carried with them. That was the thing that could never be taken away from us, is our spirit. And it reignited my spirit in me just by Paula simply speaking to us.
Beautiful.
She was amazing. She is amazing. Such an inspiring example of what it means to be a real woman, to embody the matriarchal lineage in a quiet, powerful, strong, and loving way. I just think the world of her. Both of them were just absolutely inspiring.
That's how I feel as well. And as you mentioned, you know, as her model as a woman and that feminine energy, going back to what you said, Mia, about the disappointment and some of the speakers canceling, what I appreciated about how you managed that was you did not apologize for that. you didn't take responsibility for that. I mean, it wasn't your responsibility, and there are many things beyond anyone's control that happened. But I admire that you did not apologize, because as a woman, I apologize too much. So thank you for being a model for that as well.
Well, I think we're trained to do, I think we're trained to apologize. Mm-hmm. You know, we're trained to carry, you know, everyone's unhappiness. And I don't think people realize, you know, the amount of energy that it took in these crazy seesaw times to schedule other people, you know, if, well, in Whitley's case, he'll laugh if he hears this, but every other week he was coming, he was not coming, you know, did I know someone with a private plane? It was, you know, amazing. And he finally got this super duper mask from his doctor and was coming. And then the driver's license happened. And Barbara Lamb was coming up till like 10 days before, but then her family convinced her she had to stay home because she's 84 years old and, you know, she doesn't believe in the COVID virus, but, you know, they convinced her that at her age, she should probably stay home. And Linda just didn't want to travel, with the virus, but she, you know, she wants to speak next year, and she had actually been our key speaker for the first conference, which was held in Vermont. But it was a constant, you know, moving target. And the building that you and Desiree and where you were camping, Siri, across the road by the tent, that building was finished about an hour or two at the most before people arrived, because the workmen stopped working. You know, if you had walked over to the school, you would see two exterior walls ripped out. You know, in October, November, construction was all humming along, and then everything stopped. So literally, you know, the building by where all of you essentially stayed, indoor or out, was finished, you know, 2 hours before everyone landed. So there were all kinds of issues, and I had met with several caterers and really didn't like what any of them were proposing in terms of food. So I ended up preparing all the meals myself, too. And I just want to circle back to that for a moment. Cindy Ketches is a very dear friend. she is also a white woman, and she was married to Peter Ketches, who was a very well-respected medicine man on Pine Ridge, and her father-in-law, Pete Ketches, Peter's father, was a venerated, highly honored medicine man. And the Ketches family runs the oldest Sundance on Pine Ridge. And Peter died 2 years ago, so Cindy has continued the tradition of the Sundance. And as with last year, this year, her Sundance was exactly the same weekend as our conference. And I know people felt that, you know, it was so hot for the conference, but we were experiencing our own Sundance in tandem with Cindy's Sundance. The heat is a purification, as with the sweat lodge. But the Sundancers, you know, Peter Ketches would dance in 118-degree heat for 4 days with no food or water. And for some reason, I was guided to fast for the entire conference. So for 4 days, I was drinking plenty of water, but I fasted. And I prepared the food. And in Lakota culture, the preparation of food is extremely important. You are tasked with bringing your best energy to bear when you're preparing meals for others. And I certainly tried to to do that for all of you. But we were experiencing our own purification ceremony over here in tandem with the Sundance that Cindy was having over at the Catches property. And she described exactly the same events over there. You know, there was some chaos and darkness as the Sundance began, just as there was here in Wasta. By Saturday night, the weather broke and the energy lightened up and everything opened up on Sunday morning. And I felt really fortunate to be able to share some of my experiences with all of you on Sunday morning after that, you know, occurred, because I really wanted to give you some tools to use in terms of manifesting and also utilizing your enlightenment experience from the conference. So it was just fascinating for the two of us to compare notes and how we were in lockstep with each other over those 4 days. And I think we each made the other more powerful in some way, some unseen way. We supported and energized each other.
Well, that's impressive that you were able to do all of that, Mia. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Oh, it was my pleasure, honestly.
I think, you know, it was the entire experience. So even the heat, it was what, 100, was like over 100 degrees the day I arrived, 104 or something. Then on Friday and Saturday when it was so hot, I was very grateful for the shade of the tent and the fan and the swamp cooler. But it was hot, and I do feel like that it's part of the experience, and to, you know, to practice acceptance. We have a choice about where we put our attention. What do I look at? Where do I put my own energy? Is it on what's going wrong, or it's not quite up to my expectations? Or do I put my energy and focus on what can I contribute? What can I add to this experience? I have a choice. I can show up or I can go home. It's just about anything.
Well, we were living in the lap of luxury compared to last year when the conference was on Pine Ridge. People were sleeping on mattresses on the floor. You know, everyone had their own bathroom, their own air conditioner, their own refrigerator and microwave, or a little kitchenette. You know, it is South Dakota. It's not some major metropolitan area that's going to have, you know, the highest of luxury accommodations. But, you know, for this part of the country, we're doing pretty well, actually. But I truly believe that we have to put aside our history, what we tell ourselves about ourselves, you know, the storyline that we've all created, that feeds our narrative, our personal narrative, because that personal narrative is not going to support personal growth. It keeps you stuck in your given place and isolated. And, you know, I have experienced that myself, my own ideas and opinions of myself. And I had a very glamorous life in New York City for almost 20 years. And I would not trade it for anything in terms of my life today. There's just no comparison. You know, one is all surface pretty much, even though, you know, I always had my spiritual life and my psychic gifts. But in terms of where I'm at today and how I interact with the world and beyond, it's you can't even compare the two. They're different universes. And all of that is available to us, you know, if we just get out of our own way.
Yeah, I mean, it's so amazing how, you know, what you put out there, you get back, and what you ask for, you can receive. And one of the biggest conscious things for me was to realize that if I'm asking for something that I don't believe, it makes a difference. If I ask for something and I believe it, I can get it, then you get it. And to just become conscious that all of us, because of just the way we're made, can do that and have that ability to receive good. And but it has to do with getting out of your own way and your own mental judgments that you have about yourself and about the world. So it's a lot of looking inside and doing inner work, because whatever your energy is putting out is what you are, like, signaling the universe to give to you. So if you're not conscious of yourself, you kind of get stuck in a rut and in an unconscious pattern that you don't even know you're in.
Do any of you have specific responses to the things that Alana shared with us about the virus and the surveillance state and just some of the things that we're dealing with at this moment in time specific to humanity?
I have started reading her book, and I switched to reading Whitley's book that Siri just mentioned, A New World. So what were you going to say, Desiree? I would be interested in that.
Well, there was a lot that I felt like there is some resolution to a lot of what Alana was telling us was going on, which I felt a real, what I call like a hit, is that she was absolutely correct in what is happening to everyone, and that we are the ones we've been waiting for, which is a message that I've had for a long time. And the group at WASA is the first time I've ever shared that message that I received many years ago. And so in that, in my own personal journey, I have done some radionics, and I feel like there's a real place for that in combating what is going on with those negative energies that are impacting our humanity. And I feel like I'm going to actually bring all that to the Radionics Conference in Rapid City in October, and I'm going to try to connect our groups together in a sense to hopefully create a larger group of people to heal and combat a lot of that negativity that's being thrown at us.
That's great.
Wow. Excellent, Desiree.
Excellent.
So that's part of your purpose. Part of your purpose.
Yeah, part of my purpose is really bringing people together for specific goals. I don't always know what those specific goals are, but as I was there, it brought a lot of those things together for me on a personal level. What I'm supposed to do, bring people together, similar to what Mia has done in WASA. I will also be doing something similar in Montana and allowing people to have an experience that they can't get other places, because I'm in the middle of nowhere with not much access to anything. And we're looking at building some natural buildings and getting with Henry Red Cloud to create a solar system for those buildings to power them, and bring all these groups that we're involved in
together, in a sense, like I said, to really combat a lot of the negativity that's being thrown at us as a humanity. And that is my purpose.
Beautiful. Please keep us all informed on our email list of participants.
That sounds so exciting. Yeah, if you don't mind, I'll send you some information for our radionics conference in Rapid City in October. I think it would be a really great thing for people to look into to help with these situations. Radionics initially was created through, dowsing and old radio machines directing frequencies for specific purposes, and they're using it for all kinds of things, from cancer to ETs to everything you can think of to heal. And I think that there's a real purpose for it in this community as well.
Oh, definitely. Are you including the Rife machine in that?
Yes, there's all kinds in the radionics community. There's all kinds of machines. There's Rife. There's the KRT technologies. There is some toroidal technologies using coppers and also contacting. Those are created actually with some spiritual beings involved that can communicate through those particular machines. It's a whole spectrum, like I said, from dowsing to the Rife to KRTs and AI technology. It's really incredible. So I think that those things can really help everyone to combat it. Because that was the one thing with Alana's, like I said, it really, really made some giant hits for me. As yes, this is exactly what's going on. She's right on. And I felt like there was no resolution. People were like, well, what can we do? Like, we want to help,
right.
We want to fix, but there was no real resolution to that. And I feel like bringing these two communities together can really enforce that positive healing process.
I can personally attest to radionics. I missed Alana's talk, but I've been using radionics and the different copper things for a very, very long time for healing. So I would also like more information about the conference you're talking about. I was personally trained in health kinesiology by Dr. Jimmy Scott, and he's who founded the program, but they use radionics in combination with chakras and meridians and your whole energy body. So, I really believe in it, and I really believe it works. And everybody should, be aware of these things, these tools to help us and protect us and to heal.
Absolutely. I believe in it too. And also, I just want to add, I don't remember exactly how much of this I got into when I gave my talk on Sunday morning, but in terms of visualization and manifestation, we all have the ability to heal things instantaneously as well. And energetically, just getting to the point where your intention is that strong and clear. For instance, as an example, one day I was meditating in front of the computer about Jesus healing the blind man, and when I turned the computer on the next morning, the first thing that came up was a blind man in New Jersey had been spontaneously healed overnight and could see. And that's just one example, but, I have dozens. We really can influence not only outcomes but also spontaneous healing. And I use my body
to do broadcasting on a regular basis. Some before participating in Art Santa Fe two summers ago, it was wild because I was literally bringing the energy in and broadcasting it out for 7 or 8 hours a day, trying to prepare to drive to Santa Fe from Vermont and exhibit at Art Santa Fe. And we ended up being one of their most popular exhibits anyway, and they used us in the after gala announcements. They reproduced a big photo of our booth. But literally, I did not focus on the art fair because for a month, every day I was just broadcasting, and I could see the results around me and the people around me. The couple who lived in the apartment next door, you know, fought viciously on a daily basis. The husband's an alcoholic. They were happy as clams. The wife started volunteering excessively in town, and, it works. And the thing of it is that everybody's frequency was upgraded tremendously at the conference. And, just, you know, 5 minutes a day focusing on bringing the energy in and sending it out again as you're bringing it in, just bringing it in, letting it, not holding on to it, just letting it flow through you and transmitting it. It really works.
Mm-hmm. I think that has been one of the takeaways from the conference for me, is I have noticed an increase in that sensation of the inner energy, electrical charge that had started for me, like doing yoga, doing breath work. But since the conference, that energy has increased, being around certain people or hearing, reading certain concepts. Like Desiree, you said, you know, that was, it's the hit. It feels like it really hit, it resonates inside. And that's what pulls, you know, I think can pull us along our own path of consciousness and healing.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's your confirmation. That's your internal confirmation that you're in the flow, and you know that you're in the divine flow. You're in the highest frequency, and that it's all coming in for the benefit of everyone. When you're in that place, I mean, I've been around snarling people who've just stood next to me for 3 minutes and they're practically stoned. They're so high, because they've entered, you know, another field, and not even being aware of it, they've just connected energetically and just completely transformed. And the more we can do that, individually and collectively, we're all linked now. So when any one of us is doing that, is participating, actively generating that energy, all of us are experiencing it. We're all picking up on each other all the time now.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you so much for explaining this.
Yeah, it's extraordinary what we have available to us.
Yeah.
Because, and also that's the other thing. We're in the quantum field now. You know, it's, we are reaching a new critical mass. So all of this is becoming easier.
So like, having the ability to raise the vibrational frequency of not only yourself, but the energy and things around you to make a positive impact.
Even the animals respond, you know.
Yeah.
All of the animals will respond as well. So it's right there. It's really right there. And I'm beginning to agree, at least as a transitional state,
with Dolores Cannon, that at least for a while there will be two worlds. You know, those of us who choose to live in this frequency, our lives will be unencumbered and run smoothly and be that of, you know, grace and joy and well-being. And there will be people, our neighbors or family members, who are just grinding away because of internal blocks, a resistance to change, being in a rut, because, you know, you can bring someone to water, but you can't make them drink. And unless someone's ready, you know, it's not going to happen. At least not now. The seeds may be planted, but you know, if someone is looking at all of this with a skewed vision and a judgmental eye, the information is just not going to be transmitted.
Well, what I wanted to say to each of you is that I appreciate your willingness to do this work, and that you're setting that intention to use this energy to help and heal others and to move us along, the collective us.
And you too, Michelle. That's definitely what you're doing as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Plus, you make great coffee.
thanks.
You have
thank
no
you
idea how happy I was that you make the coffee in the morning.
Oh,
wonderful.
It was fabulous.
Thank you for saying that. My human ego just really inflates. That's the one thing. That's my last outpost. Well, one of the last outposts of addiction is coffee. And I get controlling around coffee pots. So I was very pleased to be able to do that.
Well, we never would have known that was the reason.
and to serve others. One of my archetypes, the servant.
Well,
I think you're doing it well, Michelle. Very well.
Thank you.
And I think it's in service to others that we really do reach our highest fulfillment. I'm not saying that as a woman. I'm saying that as a human being. We are our brother's keeper. So, if we could only get the 1% to realize it, we'd be all set.
Oh.
Well, is there anything that you would like to add before we end our discussion?
I just want to thank everyone that I met there, including yourself, Mia, for doing this, because everybody touched me in their own way and really did raise my vibration personally. So I want to thank everyone for that.
Mm-hmm. That would be my final word too for this afternoon, is just appreciation and gratitude for each one of you that made up this conference in WASTA.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. The people that I got to really know just really made such an impact in me. You especially, I feel like I got to know you the most, Maya.
We did get to know each other pretty well, Siri.
Pretty quick. But it was all just, you know, it was wonderful. And I am so grateful to have had that experience with you and with everybody. And thank you. Thank you for calling it forth. Thank you.
Well, thank you all of you for coming. You were just lights in the weekend for me, tremendous lights, and I appreciate you all so much. I think that some extraordinary things are going to continue to come out of this. I I don't know if you all saw my my note, but in the introduction to the Pine Ridge issue of New Observations, I write about Alex Whiteplume, who's one of the true heroes of the industrial hemp movement. And 2 years ago, he grew his hemp crop for a particular company who proceeded to take advantage of him and not pay him almost $100,000. Mm-hmm. And as a result of my writing the introduction and asking Vote Hemp to send the issue out to the entire hemp community of 35,000 subscribers, he is being paid in 30 days, paid in full.
Wow.
So he now has the funds to be sure that all of his workers on Pine Ridge who are growing this crop will get their salaries. And in my opinion, this is just one of the positive things that is coming directly out of our all coming together in WASTA. And I think we will be seeing many, many more indicators of positive growth and spiritual evolvement as a result of our coming together. I think that we accomplished a lot, both seen and unseen.